Rudy Gobert has tested positive for the coronavirus.
Now we have breaking news here. Donovan Mitchell has tested positive.
Four Brooklyn Nets have tested positive. Kevin Durant's one of them.
Two players on the Los Angeles Lakers have tested positive for coronavirus.
It's been almost 2 weeks since the coronavirus pandemic abruptly halted the NBA season. And around the world, basketball leagues everywhere have hit pause. But there's one league that is preparing to come back, the Chinese Basketball Association. Today, can pro basketball successfully return so soon in China? And what does it mean for Americans like Jeremy Lin and Lance Stephenson who play there? I'm Mina Kimes. It's Tuesday, March 24th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by ADT. Hi, guys. Given everything that is happening in the world right now, most of us are buying things online. I saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They are offering fast, free, non-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply. Jonathan Givony, it's good to talk to you. How's it going?
I'm doing great. Just quarantined like everybody else here in Brooklyn with my family, just trying to stay safe. How about you?
Exactly the same, only in Los Angeles and my dog. Jonathan, I think it'd be useful to explain to people first what you do at ESPN and what it entails, because it's a bit unusual.
So I am an NBA draft analyst at ESPN. I've been doing this for about 17 years now. I started a website called draftexpress.com. And you know, one of the ways that I was able to separate myself from the pack a bit was with the work I do internationally, traveling to different tournaments, different events. European basketball, international basketball has always been really important for me. And, you know, right away when all this stuff happened, I felt like probably one of the places I can contribute in the most to ESPN is with my contacts overseas and being able to help our audience figure out, you know, what is going on around the world and what does that mean for them.
So you follow basketball around the world at every level, and that includes China. Can you walk us through what the leagues are over there and sort of what the level of play is?
So every country in the world almost has a basketball league. Probably in Asia, most people would point to China as the league that has the most resources, the biggest audiences, the biggest TV deals, the best American players. There's a lot of guys that you would recognize, like Jeremy Lin, like Ty Lawson, like Tyler Hansbrough. And so, yeah, there's a lot of money to be made for American basketball players over there. And there's a huge audience for basketball. It's a very popular sport.
So China is, of course, where the coronavirus pandemic originated. I imagine that most sports there, including basketball, shut down long before many Americans even started paying attention. When did you first hear about issues over there?
So China played their last game on January 21st, and they were scheduled to go on a two-week break for the Lunar New Year. Everybody flew home as normal, and that's when things started to get a little bit hairy. Hu Jeter, who has played in China for the last eight seasons, played for the Sacramento Kings, he played college basketball at Portland, he gave me a call in late January and told me that he had just landed back from China, and he wasn't exactly sure when he was going to be able to return. He was, you know, wanting to see if I'd heard any information on anything that's going on there. And so, you know, we've been communicating very frequently since then. So that's when I wrote actually my first article about this topic, was in early February. And I've just been following this story very closely. I've already written four news pieces on it.
Back in early February, I don't think there was any sense here in the US that this would hit the NBA. Were you talking to people here about it, or, you know, expressing concerns that were unmet?
No, I think we were all in this little bubble where, you know, we would see the news, and it got closer and closer every day. And until, you know, I really started seeing these images of what's going on in hospitals in northern Italy, which was, you know, only like 2 weeks ago did it really kind of hit home for me and say, wow, do I need to shut it down? Do I need to go home? March Madness is around the corner. It's the NCAA tournament, conference tournaments is such an important time for us. And, you know, I kind of weigh that with, you know, am I going to catch something? Am I going to bring this home to my family? And so that was, you know, some of the thoughts that were going through my head. But no, I don't think that I took it seriously enough. I don't think anybody took it seriously enough.
Well, in China, they took it very seriously at a certain point and, you know, they shut down the league there. What was that like for the players? I mean, what was their life like during that period?
So I've spoken with players who left China, you know, around January 23rd, 24th, and are only now returning. I've also spoke with, there's a player named Alaric Freeman, a guard from NC State. He never left. He's been there the whole time. And just, you know, talking to him, getting his perspective, that was crazy. I mean, that was really enlightening to hear kind of how just life just shut down for weeks. They didn't see, he said, a city of 8 million people, you would walk around and it was a ghost town. There was nothing. And all, the only people that you see are those who were taking your temperature at every place you go, at the grocery store, at the hotel, at our gym. You know, he said, I'd probably get my temperature taken 4 or 5 times a day sometimes. To hear him now talk about how life has, you know, returned almost back to normal. He says the streets are flooded. People are walking around. There's bumper to bumper traffic. Restaurants and businesses are open. You know, people are still wearing masks. They're getting their temperatures checked. He still gets a temperature checked every day, sometimes twice a day. But it's encouraging to hear that.
When did it start to sound like basketball might come back online in China?
They called Americans back around March 9th or 10th is when they put out a memo, the CBA did, and basically said, in very interesting language, that this is a matter of national pride, that we need to warm people's hearts and gather people's hearts and have an orderly promotion of return to work and production. You know, I mean, this is language that you would never hear here in the United States, but, and they went to agents and they said, okay, send your players back. And at first, everybody said, no way, you know, I mean, no chance. I mean, I'm not getting on a plane anytime soon. And so then the threats started. Not every team. I mean, some teams were, their players told me they were phenomenal about the whole thing and they were extremely understanding. And a lot of players still haven't gone back. I would say only about half of the Americans in China are back there now. April 15th is when they're planning on playing games, and there's a 2-week quarantine period that players will be forced to go through when they get to China. And then, you know, you can't just go and play high level competitive games right off the bat. You need at least 2 weeks of practice to get back into shape and make sure that, you know, you're not setting yourself up for an injury. So that's where that April 15th date came from.
Who are some of the more notable American players who are returning to the Chinese Basketball Association now?
Well, a couple of the guys that are already on the ground that have landed that are under quarantine now include ex-NBA players like Jeremy Lin, Ty Lawson. I'm hearing a couple other guys are still on their way over there. For example, Joe Young and Lance Stevenson, those are the last holdouts. But it looks like most of the league is going back there, which is good news for Chinese basketball fans.
Huh. Wasn't Lance Stevenson reportedly going to rejoin the Pacers before all this happened?
Yeah, that was the talk, that he was trying to get out of his contract and that his team in China was not willing to let him go. I guess it all turned out okay for him because the Pacers aren't playing anytime soon and Lance Stevenson's team will be.
I think given the lack of movement right now amongst everyone around the world, some people might be surprised that these players are going back. What is motivating them to return?
Well, I mean, this is what these guys do for a living. That's what they know. They're professional basketball players, and they wake up every day saying, how am I going to get better? How am I going to continue perfecting my craft? And how am I going to be able to put food on the table for my family? You know, a professional basketball career doesn't usually last very far past your mid-30s. The amount of money, the amount of wealth that you're able to accumulate by the time you retire, for most guys, that is the bulk of the money that they're going to retire with. It's very appealing for these guys to go back, especially when they know that basketball isn't being played anywhere else on the globe. A lot of these players have told me that there were threats made by their teams that if they don't go back, they will be banned for life from China, which is not something that these guys take lightly, especially the ones who have been playing there for 5 or 6 years. They don't want to go back to Europe where it's two-a-days and late payments and much longer seasons. China has been good to a lot of these guys, and I think they're also looking at it from a standpoint of the coronavirus started over there. They seem to have it contained, at least better than we do here in the U.S. There's a sentiment that maybe it's safer in China right now than it is in the U.S. It was interesting to hear Alaric Freeman saying that, you know, one of the regrets that he has is sending his daughter and fiance home, that he feels like being in China right now with him would be a lot safer for them as opposed to being in California, which is where they are. So that was just mind-boggling to hear someone talk in those terms. And he said, you know, there's a panic in America and nobody was panicking here. People just, they stayed home. They didn't interact with each other. You know, life is back to normal. That was really fascinating to hear an American talk about.
Well, Jonathan, based on the conversations you've had with players who have either stayed in China or are considering whether or not to return, do they believe it's safe there now?
They do. They feel like it's pretty safe. The first wave of players that went back, guys like Sonny Weems, like Stefan Marbury, who's a coach for one of the teams there, they were instrumental in kind of reeling players back in. They were on the phone with everybody and saying the quarantine was fine. It was conducted at a 5-star hotel or at a team apartment. They didn't just throw you in some cell and just tell you to wait out for 2 weeks. That was really important for the players to hear. And I think another thing that is kind of going through their minds is, I'm going to enter into a quarantine period in China, so I know I won't be spreading this virus to anybody. But also when I go back to the U.S., I'm going to enter into a quarantine period there. I'm going to be tested. And so that way I know that I'm not bringing anything back to my family. And so these are some of the things that were going through their heads, that, you know, that in my conversations with the players that are over there and some of them who decided not to go back.
Coming up, how the coronavirus is affecting NBA teams as they look abroad to prepare for the draft. We're presented by Marathon. Now, more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. And Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. While we are aware travel might not be top of mind, there might be times where you have to hop in the car to run an errand. Maybe you have to drop off groceries and supplies to your family. Maybe you've become an amazing baker and want to drop off a few dozen cookies on your best friend's porch. Or maybe you just want to drive around to all of your friends' homes simply to wave from a safe distance. But before you head out, remember to fuel up at Marathon. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. Remember, wherever you need to go, the people at Marathon are behind you all the way. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. So Jonathan, basketball is coming back in China, but not necessarily around Asia or the rest of the world. What's happening right now in Japan?
Well, they took a one-month hiatus between February 15 and March 15, where they were trying to get things back in order and make sure that everybody's healthy and safe and ready to resume the league. And they actually played out a round last weekend, which was called chaotic, according to the Japan Times. Several players elected not to play. One of them, Arizona State alum Jeff Ayers, who was, you know, played for the San Antonio Spurs for several years, told me that he was very uncomfortable with how things were handled there. He told me it was a reckless environment. His wife is 8 months pregnant, and he had significant concerns that his team wasn't putting him in position to stay healthy. He thought the league was pressuring players to play in games because of sponsored demands. He expressed significant concern and said that they basically were dismissive of them. And so he reached a point where he just decided to get on a plane and leave. I've been told that several other players have done the same, and the league decided to suspend play once again until April 1st. But very few people that I talked to actually think that they're going to play any more games in Japan. I do think that they may have played their last game.
Jonathan, Italy, of course, has been one of the hardest hit countries amidst all of this. What is the state of professional basketball there?
So they've been on a hiatus for the past 6 weeks. The Italian league hasn't played any games since February 9th. They currently have only postponed the league. They haven't outright canceled it, which a lot of people think is a little bit ridiculous, especially the Americans who are stuck in a lot of these places right now that want to go home. They're waiting for information. They need to know, you know, can I get on a plane? What's going to happen with my contract? Am I going to get paid? And so, you know, Italy, like a lot of these leagues, they're just not sure yet what they're going to do. I mean, obviously the situation in Italy is as bad or worse as anywhere in the world. Talking to friends of mine all week, they're under lockdown and they're calling me and saying, Jonathan, I hope that you're taking this thing seriously because this is not a joke. And so, yeah, we're going to see how this plays out. I mean, I'd be very surprised if they played any games this season anywhere in Europe, to be quite frank.
Jonathan, let's turn things back to the NBA. As you mentioned, you are a draft analyst for us at ESPN, and a big part of the reason why you are around the world looking at players, especially young players, is you're evaluating them ahead of the draft. How does this all affect that process?
I think we're fortunate to a degree that it happened in March and not in October or November, because a lot of these guys played a full season of basketball practically. And, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, my colleague Mike Schmitz and I, why we scour the globe, you know, why we travel all summer long to all these FIBA tournaments, you know, why both of us went out to Australia to spend time with LaMelo Ball and with RJ Hampton is to be prepared for situations like this where all of a sudden the music stops. And, you know, and that's where I think the good NBA teams, they're prepared for this. I mean, they have the ability now to log on to Synergy Sports Technology. There's a video service an NBA team subscribe to watch games from college, NBA, international, and get them the rest of the way to where they need to be. So for, you know, NBA teams that, I mean, this is not going to be too much of an issue for them. I think the fact that there's not going to be an NBA combine, that we're not going to have individual workouts, not going to be pro days, that's not great for them, obviously. I mean, they would surely like to invite these players to their facilities, sit down with them face to face, interview them. Their doctors would like to get a chance to see if there are, you know, any potential red flags they need to be concerned about. But these are things that we can do remotely. You know, we can tell players to go to local hospitals to get, you know, a physical done. And so, you know, compared to what's going on in the rest of the world, how many people are losing their jobs and people getting sick and dying, you know, I mean, I think the NBA is pretty well positioned, all things considered.
Before we talk today, I remember the last time you and I spoke was, I guess, 2 years ago when we were talking about Luka Doncic, right?
Yeah.
Before, I think it was the second time I went to Spain to write about him, which got me thinking, Jonathan, you know, top players in the draft come from Europe. What kind of international players will be affected by this?
I mean, I think it affects every player equally and every team equally. So we're all kind of on equal footing. I think the guys that this is going to impact are players who burst onto the scene a little bit later on in the season and maybe weren't scouted as heavily by the decision makers. You know, I was reading an article by Ira Winderman this week where he interviewed Pat Riley, and Pat Riley talked about the fact that the first time he watched Dwayne Wade play was in the NCAA tournament when he played against Kentucky. And that incredible performance that Dwayne Wade had in the NCAA tournament was one of the big reasons why the Miami Heat decided to draft Dwayne Wade fifth. Stories like that obviously are not going to happen this year. And we're not exactly sure who would have risen during March Madness and who wouldn't. And there's always a player who kind of catches fire during the pre-draft process and starts wowing people in individual workouts and improves his draft stock. But there's a school of thought among GMs that I've spoken with this week that maybe that's not, you know, the worst thing, that some of these, you know, they call them distractions in the month of May, kind of go away because it's possible that if you spend your time at home digging in on film, making intel calls, that's time better spent than watching players dribble around cones or shuttling around the country, going to these pro days, which, you know, can be a waste of time in a lot of ways.
Do you anticipate changes to the NBA calendar affecting the pre-draft process?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all kind of operating under the assumption right now that we're not getting on commercial airlines anytime in the next 2 months, at the very least. And so that means, you know, the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament, which is the all-seniors pre-draft camp, it's been held for the last 50 years where John Stockton and Scottie Pippen and Ben Wallace and Jimmy Butler, that's already canceled. All these high school scouting events like the Nike Hoop Summit, McDonald's All-American, Jordan Brand, that's canceled. The NBA Combine, they haven't made any official announcement, but we have to assume that's canceled. That's usually in mid-May. So yeah, it's going to be a very different pre-draft process. It's going to be a lot of video watching. It's going to be a lot of Skype and Zoom video conferences and FaceTime interviews. And I mean, that's what our pre-draft process is going to look like for the most part. And, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how it all turns out.
Thanks so much, Jonathan.
Thank you.
I'm Enid Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.